This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Go to GoDaddy.com for all of your domain and web hosting needs. Save 10% off by going to GoDaddy.com and entering the promo code BLU13. That's BLU13.
This isn't about me. This is about August. He died trying to warn us about someone, about a woman. She, Tamara, has a list of people who live here, what their fairy tale names are. Doesn't that worry you?
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is not magic. It's much better than that. It's a podcast, and right now it's counteracting every magic bone in your body. It's a podcast
Once
About Time.
It's a podcast.
Once upon time.
Once upon time?
Yeah, that's the show we cover. Once upon time. On BC. But welcome back, folks. We're back for another brand new episode. Unfortunately, this is the next to last episode for the season.
Oh.
Yeah, which is a shame.
That, although, I mean, we've already had so many breaks. Now we have to have a long,
long
break.
But
so long.
You know what I noticed when I was doing all the prep work for the show tonight, as far as, you know, making directories and computer and stuff like that. This is episode 24. That means next week is our 25th episode, which...
That's pretty impressive.
...is a slight milestone, but it's a milestone nonetheless.
Yes.
We would have passed that already had we done our commentaries over the break.
Had we done everything we said we were going to do, we'd probably be at like 32.
Yeah. No one beats us up more than ourselves.
Trust us.
But, you know, blah, blah, blah. We have a lot to talk about this week, so we should probably go ahead and get into it. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about this week's episode?
Greg and Tamara are out to kill magic. Snow gets through to Queenie, but the ending is tragic. Emma and Henry start a new operation, and the beans are burned down at the secret plantation. Storybrooke is in danger, and Maleficent scene, all in this week's episode. The Evil Queen.
Wahaha. That's how Regina laughs.
Yeah, no.
No, that's more Rumpel.
Definitely more Rumpel, who had a very minor role this week.
Yeah, yeah, he basically a cameo.
That's kind of okay.
Yeah, yeah, especially with what he's doing now. But as far as talking about this week's episode, let's start off with, and I just have one note here in my first point. Greg and Tamara, magic hunters.
Magic hunters.
In this episode, they recruited Hook to try and betray Regina, and through some... Oh, you know what? Before we get too into it, okay. I do want to mention that on ABC.com, they released the first 10 minutes from Second Star to the Right, next week's episode. So when we're talking, we're going to be assuming that you've watched that. But it really didn't give anything any more away than what was given away in the teaser that was played at the end of the episode.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you know, slightly more lengthened, but...
But that's very relevant to talking about Greg and Tamara, because we get to see a little bit of a scene after they've taken Regina, which happens at the end of this episode. Think of it as...
Bagger! Bagger!
That 10-minute preview, just think of that as the Evil Queen addendum.
Yeah, kind of.
Really. Anyway, through that preview and through this episode, we kind of get the impression that they're not just there trying to find Greg's dad.
Right.
And they're working for somebody.
They're totally working.
Towards an end, even.
Yeah. The more they're there, the more I question your grand season finale theories.
Yeah. Well,
theories are not looking so pretty right now.
Well,
no,
I wouldn't say that. I would say that if the media comes to Storybrooke, it might not be necessarily because of Greg. Hey, that made more sense when I thought Greg was just a random dude and not Greg and Tamara, magic hunters,
right.
You know?
Right.
But I still think there's going to be some sort of
public. I don't know if it's media, though. I don't know. I'm not really getting that feeling now. I'm getting a kind of Heroes vibe.
A Heroes vibe?
It's a Heroes vibe.
Like Heroes, the show that was on NBC a few years ago, the superhero show, had Hayden Panettiere.
We were kind of obsessed with it, so that's probably why it's like coming into the forefront. But it's really kind of has that sort of a public explosion that I kind of feel more.
Yeah, so
they want to be studied.
Yeah, so you're saying if there is a public exposure, it's going to be someone's going to slip up and expose them?
Yes.
Expose the town?
I feel that is kind of the way.
Yeah,
because they were trying to control stuff in Heroes, and now we have like magical cuff that takes away your power.
Yeah, and they had like the neck brace or the neck things that took away their powers in Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was cribbed from X-Men. But which I'm not an X-Men fan. I shouldn't know that. X-Man.
Anyway.
No, but it'll be interesting to see. I mean, things are definitely coming to a head here. It depends on who they're working for, really.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't feel like a good guy.
Yeah. On one hand, it feels almost like it could be a governmental organization who's out to crush magic in the real world. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, in the preview, There are some things said by Tamara, and I won't spoil that. Well, we're going to spoil the 10 minutes of the episode, but not the preview for some reason. But there are some things said in that that makes me almost think it's like a holy war or something.
Yeah.
You know, like there's some sort of weird anti-magic religious sect. Because what's the exact line? Do you remember the exact line she says? Something about magic is or wicked or
unholy.
Unholy. That was it.
Yeah, it's unholy.
That was it, which I thought was a really interesting choice of phrase. And I just wonder, it kind of opens up the possibility, since obviously, you know, they had the bracelet that took away Regina's powers. Mm-hmm. They have all this other stuff to deal with magic, the magic taser, which
We'll talk about the magic taser.
But, you know, they have all this gear to take down people with magic. And we saw Tamara take down the dragon a few episodes back. And so I just wonder how many more magical people are in the real world. Like,
how did they get there? How do we not know about them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still want to know more about the dragon.
Yeah, and
which has got to be Lando Mulan, who they need to come back. Come on, we got 2 episodes left.
Well, there's some indications that's probably going to happen.
I'm sure. I mean, you can't really have a season finale without really wrapping it up.
Yeah, but you know, it just depends on who's controlling them. It almost feels though for a big arcing. Anti-magic organization, they would need more than 30 years to kind of figure things out and learn how to take down people who have magic.
Right.
So what magical creatures came to the real world first? Although in next week's episode, we'll probably be seeing one of the first, or at least, you know, some of the first.
Right.
Well, actually, I guess the first would be Bay, technically, or that
to
we know
of. To the best of our knowledge.
To the best of our knowledge, one of the first people to people from a magical land, anyway. Bay doesn't really have magic yet.
That we know of.
Yeah.
I bet he's got to have something.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily think he's the first, though, because, okay, so we're talking about everything that we've seen.
Yeah.
So, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all know the theories we've all had. Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about Bay being Peter Pan forever.
For at least since probably like mid-season break.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. In the preview, Bay, when he comes out of the portal, he's in, where do they live?
London.
Yeah. And, you know, he shows up at breaks into the Darling house to try and steal some food. Obviously, you know, Wendy's going to lead to Peter, which means Peter had been coming to Wendy before that, I would assume.
We would assume, but we don't know that. I don't know. Like, I have some more indications in one of my articles later regarding Tink.
Uh-huh.
So,
interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
He didn't read ahead. So again, Greg and Tamar are magic hunters.
I did watch the episode like 4 times this week.
Really?
I just while I was working today, I had it playing double speed while I was watching it, or while I was working, you know, and I just watched it over and over again. I didn't pay attention all 4 times, but you know,
he's going to recite mid scene for you.
Yeah, I caught important bits throughout. But okay.
Anyway, let's just veer away from that because that seems mm-hmm. to be engulfing our life.
Yeah, and that's probably going to be a major subject next week.
We're
going to
be
imagine.
Talking about that probably for the next year. Were they officially picked up? I don't know. I don't think so yet. ABC hasn't made their announcements yet.
Yeah, but
NBC made theirs.
The Queen, Lana?
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 Lana Pereira?
Yeah, something. I forget how to pronounce it, but she tweeted out, someone tweeted her and asked her when they were going to start shooting season 3, and she tweeted back July 12th.
Oh, well, they're picked up then.
Yeah, so if there, even if there isn't an official announcement, the actors think they're going back to work.
They will not be on vacation in the middle of July. Okay, so speaking of Miss Regina, is it just me, or did the scene with her and Henry when she lays out the plan mm-hmm. seem for us and not at all for the world?
Like for Henry in particular?
Yeah, I mean, well, she lays out the whole plan. There is no way in the world mm-hmm. or any of the worlds that she thought that Henry was going to be like, yeah, you know, kill my family. Let's go live in the castle.
Well, I think she kind of addressed that when she was talking to him towards the end there, because she said, Henry was like, why would you even tell me this? Right. And she says, because I don't have anyone else to talk to. And right. then she erases his memory. So I think it was just something. She was giddy about her plan. She knew it was going to be the perfect plan and it was going to work and it was going to get her son back. And she wanted to tell somebody, but she didn't want anyone interfering. So she went to Henry, told him. If he had reacted positively, I'm sure she probably wouldn't have wiped his mind or
anything. Well, that would have been silly to wipe
But his Henry mind. Wouldn't have reacted positively to that.
No.
I mean, as he said in that scene, I'm going to stop you.
Right.
You know? He's like, okay, you're evil. No, we can't do that.
He's like, I've always known you're a little bit evil, but woo. I don't know. It just felt a little fake to me. Like, I just mm-hmm. felt, was this some sort of, like, plot progression mm-hmm. in hyperdrive?
Yeah, well, and we talked about this problem a little bit last week. And what was the scene this – there were a couple scenes this week.
There was the opening scene.
That were slightly like this too, but just scenes where characters are catching other characters up to the plot. And in this scene, it made a bit of sense because Henry didn't know. And there was a really good character reason for Regina to go there. She just wanted to tell somebody.
Right.
You know, she has this great plan and she got one over on old Snow and Charming.
She needs a dog. A cat, maybe a hamster.
A mouse. Gus Gus. There's our Gus Gus.
There's
reference.
Our Gus Gus. We can make it a drinking game.
We should have like a jar where we put a quarter in and then, I don't know, buy a pet mouse when it gets full.
Never. No pet mice.
No, but there was a scene with a Hook in the clock tower yeah. right at the beginning. And what was the other? There was one other scene where it was characters telling other characters
what's
the
going
plot.
On. Right.
Which... You know, it's going to happen.
It's necessary, especially with everybody working in different timelines, mm-hmm. sort of. Yeah.
And I really think they're trying to push to hook some new people here right at the end, especially considering, you know, even though what we said before, they haven't made an official announcement about renewing yet, and they're
right.
probably waiting for the numbers for the finale. So they want to make sure if you just happen to stay on ABC after America's Funniest Home Videos. that you know what's going on at least, which makes a bit of sense.
Makes
but
sense.
It's annoying to us hardcores.
Exactly.
Okay. So something I thought was really interesting is we kind of got we got another indication of the chronological progression of Rumple's plan to get the curse enacted so he could get back to Bay. Because when he comes to Regina and she asks him to you know, transform her and everything so she can go kill Snow unmolested, that, you know, he says he'll do it, but the deal is that she'll have to stop trading with King George's kingdom in order to, you know, that's the trade-off.
Trade.
And that's very interesting because if King George's kingdom hadn't gone bankrupt, then... David's brother, James?
James?
Yeah, he
wouldn't be dead.
Yeah, he wouldn't be dead. David wouldn't be the prince. And Prince and Snow probably would have never met. Charming and Snow probably would have never met. So it's another indication of like the multi-layered plan that Rumple was executing throughout their entire time in Fairytaleland.
I wonder if he has a giant chart.
I think if you're the dark one, you don't necessarily need.
I know it's just like
plus you know he has that seer power, so he can probably
like, but it's the sorting and he needs names.
Mm-hmm.
This is my seer powder.
She's doing like weird antler things on her.
Alien antlers. That would be my seer power. But yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but I just thought it was...
I definitely could see that being a setup because it's a name thing. So it was King George. Mm-hmm. He already that's the path that he has to follow.
Yeah, just overall, another indication of how far-reaching Rumple's plan really was. Like, it wasn't just a matter of tricking the queen into enacting the curse. This was years in the making. So many people's lives manipulated, improved, and ruined just to get them all to Storybrooke, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. So Snow and Regina, back in ye old fairy tale world.
Oh, yes. The flashback.
I loved the flashback this week. Loved the flashback.
Oh, yeah. Really good character piece with the queen and
Snow.
Although...
A little sad. I was kind of sad. Okay. I was sad for Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Let's mark it down, ladies and gentlemen. Mark it down. Because I'm never sad for Regina. But...
Well, I mean, this was another situation, and this happens with Regina so much, where she was like a hair away from becoming a good person again. And then just... Something she did before, or something even... Sometimes it's even something external from her just happens to, you know, just rob it, take it from her,
happened to slaughter an entire village.
Yeah.
The day before.
Poor Regina.
She just slaughtered a whole village.
Poor maniacal Regina.
Show no mercy.
No, yeah. but one thing, addressing that is, you know, they kind of presented this episode as this is where, you know, the episode was even called The Evil Queen. This is where she turns evil.
Right.
But didn't we already kind of get that?
She's never been nice.
Oh, definitely not.
Let's take that back. She was nice way back.
Yeah, before her true love got killed.
Like,
yeah.
Before Snow, she was nice.
But, I just thought that, I think the episode where the stable boy died, which I think was called The Stable Boy.
Probably.
But I thought that was supposed to be, oh, that's when she turned. But this is, I think this just takes it to another level from someone who just wants to get revenge on Snow to somebody who is willing to sacrifice
everybody
in the world
right.
to get to Snow.
Yeah. And okay, is it just me or when Rumple transformed her, she kind of had a very Snow-esque feel to her?
A little bit. I could see that.
Because she looked, you know, she had the same round, slightly pudgy face, the same brown hair. I mean, you can't really say anything about the outfits because the outfits were all going to be the same.
Yeah.
But...
hard to say, just because there were so few glimpses of what would you call yourself, Wendy?
Wilma.
Yeah, so, I knew it was a W name.
Yeah,
but you know there were so few glimpses.
Very few glimpses, but it just seemed. Well, I also think that you know they always actually transform people, so I thought it was weird that they made the choice not to actually just show her as another character for us.
Yeah, because, I mean, even in the Mad Hatter episode, when she transformed into the old lady at the market, you saw her as the old lady at the market. But
earlier in the episode, we saw her transform as a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess this was sort of like their precursor to that.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a
situation. Maybe because it was lengthy?
It was also a situation where Rumple was enacting the curse. Enacting the spell, the transformation spell.
Right.
And, you know, there were stipulations to him doing that, including her not having access to her magic.
Which was fantastic, especially since she said, I won't need it.
So, I mean, maybe it was a situation where it was just sort of like a visual cue that it was a slightly different type of transformation.
Right. So. Yeah, possibly. I also really liked, because, you know, they're talking, you know, she's sick. Mm-hmm. And how she just keeps almost giving herself away. You don't know how to do that. Yeah. And Snow just looks at her. Yeah, I can hunt. Thanks, honey. But like somebody.
Taking lessons on giving stuff away from Emma, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But like another forest, somebody from another forest taught her.
Oh, Snow? Who? Yeah.
We don't know who. That's another flashback to come.
I would almost assume Robin Hood. Because who in the world do we know that is a good archer, like known for his archery skills?
I didn't even put that one together.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's probably Robin Hood.
Maybe that's why they were pumping him up so much mm-hmm. last week.
Yeah, maybe there's going to be a flashback where, like a training montage. Eye of the tiger is the will of the fight. I don't think those are the actual lyrics.
Who knows?
Yeah, but I would guess Robin Hood, although, you know, that was on like my second or third watch of the episode. I just thought she was talking about Red or something.
Oh.
But which could also be, but I mean, Red's not known for archery.
No,
skills.
But she is known for hunting.
She is known for hunting. And that for knowing how to navigate the woods.
Right. So but it might have been like a combo platter. Mm-hmm. But Red was from her woods.
Could have been Lancelot, too, because they were buddies.
It's true. We don't know much about the Lancelot.
Yeah. Could have been Henry. Who knows? Time travel.
He is not the doctor.
No, but if I had to guess, I'd say it was...
It was probably Robin Hood. Yep. Okay.
It was our hood.
I like it.
Okay, I thought this was a really good Hook episode, and not just because he made a lot of double entendres.
He always makes a lot of double entendres. It's his thing.
I mean, I thought that this was probably the most introspective we've seen Hook, and he was really struggling with the themes of revenge and redemption and moving on throughout the whole episode. Right at the beginning, you know, he's... tells them, no, or Greg and Tamara in the clock tower, no, I'm not going to help you. I already got my revenge. I'm done here. I want to get back to my ship and
take off
and do some pirating. Some pirating. I think that's the appropriate
that's the proper
term.
Word.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but, then they tell him that it didn't work and they show him in, Gold's only appearance, I think, in the episode.
Yeah. Gold and.
Or no, there was one more because he.
Nope.
Was that the same one with Victor kissing his boot?
That was the 10-minute preview.
Oh, okay, okay. That was the 10-minute preview.
This is why you need to watch the 10-minute preview,
yeah,
because
we
can't cut
that
off.
We watched it.
We weren't going to watch it.
We watched it right after the episode aired, too, so it just kind of felt like, you know, there was a commercial break, and then we were right back into it.
Right.
An Iron Man Subway ad. no, but, you know, and then he sees Rumpel, and then he's willing to help them. You know, then he's
kinda.
Then he goes to Regina and straight up tells her, you know, they sent me here to betray you. And but I don't want to do it. I want to help you. And I think he was honest in that.
I also think he was really affected by Cora's death.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They spent 30 years together.
Exactly. And they were tight.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, time was frozen, but I'm sure, you know,
it was, but it wasn't.
Well, if anyone could talk during the 30-year freeze, it would be Cora.
Yeah, but turn whoever she wanted to talk mm-hmm. to.
But, you know, he was really affected by that, and I think he was really earnest, and he really meant, yeah, let's take down Rumpel, let's destroy Storybrooke, and I don't know, I almost got the impression that he was, if things had progressed that way, that, you know, some romance might have blossomed or something between the two villains.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I really think so, because at that point, they've both gotten their revenge, and besides Henry, Regina and Henry, they don't have anyone else.
That's true.
And, you know, who's going to want to associate with the people who killed
everyone?
Everybody. You know, so I think he was really earnest about that, and I think the real turning point was down in the cave before he got kicked over, because... Mm-hmm. Oh, what was the exact line? I watched the episode four times.
An
I should
end
know.
Is in the beginning. That revenge is an end and not a, or a beginning.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to kind of appeal to her and say, this won't satisfy you.
No.
So maybe we should just take off and do something else. Grab Henry, whatever. That was subtext.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, I want my revenge and I'll get it any way I can. And I think that was the moment he turned and he was like, okay, I'm going to give her over to Greg and Tamara. And then when she kicks him into the pit with Maleficent, I'm sure that probably
that solidified it.
Yeah. That solidified it a little bit. And I mean, he even says, when they meet back up in the library, that, you know, he thought they shared something and he was about to do it.
Right.
And you know, I kind of feel bad for him because
he can't catch a break.
I think he was about to let he was ready to let it go, and then she just screwed it all up.
Right.
But probably my favorite Hook episode to date. But with the two episodes coming up, that could probably change.
That will probably change. Pardon me.
Totally fine. Totally fine.
You bore me. No. no, I really did. I did have one question about that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
How did they save him from Maleficent?
Yeah, that was a little unclear to me,
that
too.
Wasn't
like,
clear
how
remotely.
Did he get back up? Because, I mean,
it's a two-man job. At least that's what we were always told.
Unless there's magic.
And none of those three have magic.
Yeah, well,
kind of.
Maybe.
No.
Well, we'll talk about that in the news a little bit. No, but yeah, it was really unclear how Hook got out of the pit after fighting Maleficent.
And more to my concern, how did he get past Regina?
Yeah, because you'd think
she threw him off of a cliff.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think she had wandered that far away from the elevator. I mean, that upper level doesn't seem very big. I mean, the lower level was
massive,
huge. But that upper level, you know, from the scene where Emma fought Maleficent last season's finale,
right,
and this scene, like, it didn't seem big enough to where she could get out of eyesight from the elevator.
Right. Who knows?
Or the entrance to the elevator, anyway.
Right. Okay, so the beans.
The beans.
I believe that she does not have the only bean.
Really?
I do.
How so?
Human error.
Human error.
Magical human error. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean,
I know that she burnt them. I understand. Don't feel she'd have only taken one bean.
Mm-hmm.
She's got another one growing somewhere, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
or one, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the how you always have the something was under the dirt and it didn't quite get burnt. Sort of, what was that show or movie? Something Venice, Tuscany. I don't know, but there's burning.
Mm-hmm.
Vineyards, but there's a cutting that lives and they can rebuild from that. Well, that's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a beam.
Well, feeding into that, you know, from the preview from next week, we know that Regina is a bit tied up, at least at the beginning of the episode. And so they have access to her house where that plant is. There were no more beans on the plant, I believe, right?
Which seems a little odd to
but,
me.
You know, they could grow
They're
a
magic.
New field.
Right.
They can take a cutting of that plant, and they have open access to her house as long as Greg and Tamara have her.
Right.
I mean, I was actually surprised in that scene where they broke into her house looking for her that they didn't just snip, take a cutting so they could, you know, restart the field somewhere else.
I think at that point, though, they were more concerned finding her.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely the main thing. I don't know. I am just determined that it's not the only bean. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, there's two possibilities. One, that was the only bean. Regina has all the beans, and whoever's going back to Storybrooke is going back on Regina's beans. Or that's a really
that's
weird phrase.
Really, Regina's beans.
Regina's
there's
beans.
The episode.
Yep,
title.
Regina's beans. I'm going to type it in right now. but yeah, that's one possibility. And the other possibility is that there's a cutting or a stray bean out there.
Right,
and
there's something.
That'll be the way it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. I mean, there's only a couple episodes left, so something has to happen. So.
Something major is going down.
Okay, so as kind of a callback to last season, Emma and Henry team up again for a secret operation, Operation Praying Mantis.
Side note, when they first said, oh, Operation Cobra is back in effect, all I could think was, yay, Operation Cobra podcast.
Yes.
More power to you. This is your episode.
Your name is current again. But no, they changed it to Operation Praying Mantis. But basically, Emma finds or sees that Tamara has a list of all the Storybrooke people.
She intentionally slammed into her, though, which I think was awesome.
Like who? Emma?
Emma. She saw her,
mm-hmm.
paused and sort of turned. And then as Tamara was coming at it, went boom and like knocked her over.
See, I didn't pick up on that.
You're a man. It was a woman thing. but I mean, it was sort of just like how Tamara mm-hmm. set up Neil with the coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely
see it. It was very along those lines. Mm-hmm. Like, she knew what was going on and she wanted a shaker. Mm-hmm. She already obviously had a bad feeling about her before.
Yeah. But then when she finds
the fact that she's already still in love with Neil,
the list linking the Storybrooke citizens to their fairy tale character counterparts, that just sends her into overdrive. And Snow, I thought it was really weird that Snow was so discouraging of the whole idea. I mean, I can see why she was thinking about Henry and stuff, but you got to trust your daughter, man.
Right.
Like, especially when she broke the curse. She was the chosen one. Like,
right.
She's the main character. Come on, Snow. But, Henry and Emma eventually get together and they go on a stakeout in the Yellow Bug.
That's the worst thing to try and stake out. Ooh, duck, duck. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other person, everybody else saw you. It's a Yellow Bug.
Also, who would know that car on sight?
Neil.
Neil, because he stole it. Yeah. Yeah, like, why would you do a stakeout in a car of the fiancé, or that used to be owned by the fiancé of the person you're staking out?
Right.
That seems like a bad idea. And then, while they're on the stakeout, again this week, Emma lets slip that there's a magic bean field to Henry.
Oh, like, Emma.
Never trust her with a secret.
No secrets.
She can't keep her mouth shut. She just lets it slip every single time.
But she knows when people are lying to her.
She does, or kind of. Oh, actually, my next. That was a great transition, and I completely blew it. I'm sorry, audience and Marie. No, but Emma, the unreliable nature of Emma's superpower is addressed, and there's some indication her superpower being that she can tell when people are lying, mm-hmm. and people kind of make comments that it's when she's emotional, it's very unreliable, which. We've pointed out several times this season when it seemed very unreliable.
But it was.
And I wonder if they threw those lines in because that's a plot point, or if they put that line in because it became a plot point because fandom was talking about it.
Right.
Because, we weren't the only ones saying that. So I'm not saying, the creators were listening to our show and they changed the show to
But if you are, send us an email. Leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, we want to interview you guys.
We'd like to talk to you. Could be a DragonCon?
Skype. Be good for over the break.
Let's do it.
Promote the show. so that's mentioned. That's brought up. And in a way, it's put to bed. It's made apparent in the show, straight out stated, that Emma's superpower is kind of unreliable. So there's that anyway.
Okay, so Emma, I don't think you properly checked under that floorboard.
Yeah, it seemed like she was just kind of like dead fish. Like,
there was a board under the board, like mm-hmm. sort of splitting into like two sections, and she mm-hmm. only half checked the one side.
Yeah.
Didn't even check the other, and I think it's only because Neil was there. Had he not been there, mm-hmm. she'd have been down there with a flashlight. She'd have been like magnifying glass.
Basically, if she had found anything with Neil there, I'm assuming she probably had doubts that he would trust the evidence of anything exactly. she found.
They know each other's tricks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm guessing she just left it there to investigate later.
Right.
Which is cool. Although I love that scene with the kicking the door thing, and Henry's just so awkwardly doing it.
My favorite. Oh, hell no. I taught her that. You brought the kid into this?
Possibly my favorite Neil Cassidy moment of the entire series. Yeah, thus
it was
far.
Great.
There was just actually in that line reading, there was just so much character to it. Mm-hmm. More, I mean,
he's very New Yorker.
Yeah, he seems kind of like I like the character. I like the actor playing him. I like his portrayal. But sometimes he can come off as a little flat. But that's not a slam. I think the character's supposed to be emotionally flat because of everything he's been through.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just like a really good character moment. Like you could see who if you showed that moment to someone who had never seen the show before, they could give you at least his modern world backstory.
Right.
So that was a really good moment. Okay, so Maleficent returned this week, but she didn't come back to life.
I completely blocked out the fact that she was killed.
Yeah, by Emma.
Yeah, like dragon. At first I was just staring at her going, what form is she in?
Yeah, because that's nothing we've ever seen Maleficent do before. And it was bugging me so much so that I generally don't like to do this before we record our episodes just to keep us, you know, fresh and clean and
you
everything.
You listened to another one, didn't you?
No, I listened to the official one.
Oh.
And they said, no, Maleficent wasn't alive down there. The thing that happened was her dead body was down there, and the spell said Maleficent is there to protect the failsafe. So if the failsafe is in danger, Maleficent must be there to protect it. So it kind of resurrected her as kind of like this weird mummy wraith thing. And So she's not alive.
It looked a lot like Maleficent the actress. So,
oh yeah, I'm sure they modeled it off.
I mean, obviously, but I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and it cool to see Maleficent, and it was a good action sequence too.
Right.
But yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. I was expecting because it was out there that Maleficent was going to be back this episode, and I was expecting either another flashback or that she was going to somehow come back to life in the pit and come back into the plot and stir things up a little bit.
I would love to see that.
Which I was kind of looking forward to, but I wasn't disappointed
right, by
what happened either. It was a really good scene, really good action scene, and it was, even though she wasn't alive, it was cool to get to see her again.
Okay, and going off of that, how did Hook know it was Maleficent? Regina never said Maleficent, she said an old friend.
Hmm.
How does Hook know Maleficent? Because he recognized her instantly.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if they've had a run-in in the past or something.
Exactly.
Like, the one thing I kind
of... Or did Cora somehow just start, like, fill him in on all these people?
That's very possible, especially if they were able to...
Chill for 30 years.
Yeah, chill for 30 years. I'm sure they told a lot of stories back and forth. But that's something that we really haven't got a lot of that I'd like to see. I mean, we're obviously going to get some of it
now
in the next couple episodes, but Hook's backstory.
I want backstory.
Yeah, like what happened, not necessarily, you know, the whole Neverland thing, because I'm sure that's going to be addressed back and forth and forever. But, you know, what was he up to before he ran into Mila? You know, what was his role in Fairy Tale Land, in the Enchanted Forest, in the connected worlds?
Right.
Or not worlds,
he connected the worlds.
Lands, rather. Right. What was his role there before Mila and the Dark One and Neverland and all of that? That would be really interesting to see.
That would be cool. So,
very much so.
I just think it's neat that he just instantly recognized her.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. Anyway.
Okay, so one thing – hold on. I have to cough.
I'm glad you told everybody that you had to cough.
I lean away from the mic to cough. one thing I thought was really cool in the whole flashback sequence was Snow's perspective on the big horse rescue, her and Regina's first big meeting. Mm-hmm. Because Regina kind of saw that as the moment her life
ended,
went to heck. And Snow saw – I think it was really partially responsible for
– Snow being Snow.
Yeah, Snow being Snow, Snow being that good person. Mm-hmm. I obviously her mother dying very shortly before that, I'm sure probably helped push her towards
seed.
That.
It planted the seed, mm-hmm. but I think Regina saving her mm-hmm. solidified what her mom had told her.
Yeah, I think her mom's death taught her to be a good person. I think Regina's rescue taught her to be a selfless person.
Okay.
To be a hero.
Okay, I like it.
Like I honestly think, you know, based on what Snow said here about, you know, that moment showing her that someone could risk it all for someone else, I really think that if that moment had happened before Snow's mother's death, she probably would have used that candle on herself or something like
that.
Yeah. But, you know, you wouldn't want to see that because then where would we be in the story? There wouldn't be a story.
There would be no story.
No, but I thought it was really cool. And I thought it was really cool how Regina reacted to that too, because she had had that moment. She had that moment locked in her head as the moment everything changed for the worse. And to find out that the other person involved in that moment considered it one of the best things to ever happen to her and to shape who she was as a good person, especially when, you know, Regina is kind of straddling the line between good and evil, almost going back and forth.
Right.
I thought it was really powerful. I liked it.
It was good. It was good times. So Storybrooke's total destruction.
Yeah, the failsafe, the black diamond thing.
Yeah, that failsafe thing. Oh.
Interesting.
How do we feel about that?
I don't know. I can't see them completely eliminating Storybrooke, because then you completely eliminate the pitch for the show, the hook for the show.
Right. But maybe something goes wrong with it.
Mm. You know what? I could almost see. We'll be talking more about the preview. But Greg and Tamara have it now because they took everything off of Regina.
Right.
And they don't know what it is.
Right. So they're going to send it back to HQ or whatever.
What I'm thinking is they somehow accidentally activate it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is after the big split happens and some people have traveled back to Fairytale Land and some people stayed in Storybrooke, and maybe just a limited amount of characters get destroyed with the town. And then the other ones are safe in Fairytale Land for, you know, the first half of next season or whatever. And then they find some way maybe to restore it. I would find that satisfying. If they destroy Storybrooke, I will be shocked. I will hate it. But I'll really like it because I have a strong emotional reaction, which, right. You know, with fiction, if you have any sort of reaction, even if it's a negative one, then it's doing its job.
It's doing its job, yeah.
But yeah, very interesting to see where that will end up and what will happen to Regina, too, because right now she's helpless.
She's completely helpless, but she doesn't seem to feel she's helpless. Did you get that feeling from the preview? We're back in the preview.
I don't know. That's kind of her character, too, so it's hard to say.
Right. Because, as Snow points out, she doesn't like to look vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which I think when she said that, it was nail on the head, and Regina was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, as far as, like, Regina's motivations and stuff, you went from, you know, having known Regina, you know, but having kind of known Regina, kind of knowing what her history was and everything, to knowing her like family, like Snow does.
Right.
Knowing what her true motivations are and for, you know, just the general way she is. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't want them to destroy Storybrooke, though. I really like it. I really feel...
Thanks, Storybrooke.
I feel this season we haven't gotten nearly enough Storybrooke.
Like, no, we really haven't.
There've been some great episodes with it, like the episode with Ruby and the wolf and the pitchforks, and
that was awesome. Yeah. Also, what happened to Charming's dad?
Unknown.
He just like disappeared. What is he, living in the woods?
He's probably on another show somewhere. He's on Revolution with
everyone's on a different show.
The Mr. Glass. Okay, so this episode, the Evil Queen, out of 8 of Regina's beans. How many of Regina's beans would you give this episode?
6.5 beans.
6.5 beans?
So you're only giving me out of 8, so that sounds really low, but it's not.
Oh, why 6.5 beans?
I liked it. A lot happened. We learned a lot about a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think it was a really nice change of pace after last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't pro Lacey.
Like pro Lacey the character or pro Lacey the episode?
Yeah, a little combi. Okay.
Yeah, well, we were actually talking about that a bit before we recorded today concerning some ratings and stuff like that. Lacey seemed like a really weird episode to come back on, because you're taking one of the most loved characters and one of the most loved couples in the show.
And smashing it, kind of.
Completely reversing the dynamic of it, which is interesting. But it, not necessarily the best episode to come back from a month-long break on.
No.
And I'm sure they didn't necessarily plan it that way.
But like you pointed out, it got an emotional reaction, so it did its job.
This is true.
From those people who actually tuned in.
I just hope those people who had a negative reaction tune back in, or at least catch up on this week's episode, because this week's episode was everything that's great about the show.
Right.
It was in this week's episode.
Yep.
In fact, I would give it 8 of Regina's magic beans.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, I think I've given one perfect score to one other episode. I'm trying to remember what episode it was. But this week, perfect score.
Okay.
I thought there was, you know, plot development, good plot development. I really liked Hook. As I said,
I did like Hook.
The flashback was excellent and really kind of fleshed out the backstory even more, which is you think after all the flashbacks we've had and all the major plot points we've seen, they really can't do any more progression with the backstory.
But they do. They really do.
And they kind of just flesh things out a bit more and open it up. And I really loved it.
Sometimes all I can think is poor Ginny Goodwin trying to like portray all of this in her poor head.
Mm-hmm.
Like her character has been like pulled this way, pulled that way, pushed this way, pulled that way. And as I used to be an actress, it hurts my head and it hurts me.
Well, I mean, all the characters on the show are basically playing what, three or four characters?
Something like that. But I feel like her and Regina mm-hmm. have probably gone through some of the most, they have the most to carry with them that they don't even know yet.
Yeah.
Like they don't learn it that much far in advance from when they film mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is stuff that to them really happened 30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I don't know. I can't imagine directing it.
One thing, and I pointed this out to you already, but I want to point it out to our listeners.
Yes, please.
Something I thought was really funny, and it's just because of my background, and like you said, you have a background too in acting,
mm-hmm.
is right at the in the snow charming scene where they're sitting by the water and talking about what they're going to do. Do they bring Regina or not? Mary Margaret Snow says something about the horrors that
the horrors.
Yeah, she says the horrors that Regina has committed. The only reason it really stuck out to me is I was in a play once where I had to say the word horrors, and it kept sounding like whores, and so my director told me to say it like Snow did, horrors. So my thinking is that especially when Charming right after said it properly.
Yeah.
I think that was the case where it kept coming out the wrong way. So they corrected her. But overall, great, great episode. And we'll see where we're going. Only a couple episodes left.
Should be interesting.
It should be very interesting. Now, Regina has a lot of beans.
She has one bean to the best of our knowledge. But we're going to pretend she has eight.
She burned the fields down. She could have some others squirreled away somewhere. She has a lot of beans. Let's go.
She has a lot of beans.
She has a lot of beans. And, you know, if she eventually turns to the good side, what's she going to do with those beans? She's going to give one to the good guy so everyone can go back home. But, you know, she's not going to be a queen when they get back.
Right. She,
so she's going to have
to
find
a living.
Yeah, she has to find some other method of work. What I would suggest if I was sitting here with Regina right now,
pretend I'm Regina.
Okay.
Pitch me.
Regina.
Yes.
Regina, you're going to need some work when you get back to the Enchanted Forest, aren't you?
What is this work you speak of?
It's, you know, what all the common people do.
Commoners. Well, anyway, continue. Sorry.
You know, we love you, Regina, but
I'm a bad Regina.
You're not going to be queen anymore.
Oh.
So you're going to need some sort of income. Now, I suggest you sell your magic beans that you have squirreled away.
I could sell my magic beans.
Yeah, everyone wants a magic bean.
Everybody does like a magic bean. Pay a very high price. Lots of gold.
Who doesn't want to travel to worlds here,
unknown,
thither, and fither?
Only I knew how to make a hat. Anyway, beans. I've got beans.
Yes, but the thing is, you know, the Enchanted Forest is so spread out. You don't want to be walking 20, 30 miles between every house to go try and sell these magic beans, do you?
I don't walk. My horse needs a new shoe.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't seem like you, and that would ruin one of your beautiful, beautiful outfits. And yeah. I'm sure you wouldn't want that.
Let us not mess those up.
What you should do, Regina, I'm sure they're going to bring this back with them from the real world, is you should set up a website on the internet to sell these magic beans.
A website?
A website. Oh. You know, like how Henry found Emma? Through that website? But
yes, that website.
Yeah, but basically you can set up a nice e-commerce shop, Regina's Magic Beans.
Regina's Magic
And you can sell them there. You can do inventory. You can do billing. You can do email list, all sorts of stuff. But the thing is, you need a place to host the website.
My income's quite limited right now. Can you help me out? I will give you a magic bean.
Ooh, I'd love a magic bean. Thank you, Regina. But yeah, I can help you out. I know this great company called GoDaddy.com. I host all my own websites through it, so you know you can trust it.
That's not like WhoSYourDaddy.com, is it?
No, absolutely not. But you could register WhoSYourDaddy.com if you wanted to.
That doesn't make sense with beans. Continue.
Okay.
GoDaddy. Tell me more about this.
Yes, they're a great host. They have all sorts of hosting packages. They have automatic installers for all of your big, platforms like WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, etc. And they also have, you know, special things set up for e-commerce, like you can get a SSL certificate so people can use their credit cards when they're buying their magic beans.
Credit cards, yes.
Everything like that. And like you said, you need some help with the pricing.
I am going to need some help with the pricing, yes.
Okay, well, if you go and you spend $30 at GoDaddy.com, I can save you $5.
How does that transfer into gold coins?
Like, the hosting would be half a gold coin, and I can save you like an eighth of a gold coin.
Let's do it.
Okay, so if you want to set up Regina's magic beans.
Yes, my magic beans.
And you want to do it on GoDaddy, go spend $30, get your hosting plan, a domain name, maybe some additional support for the e-commerce stuff.
Yes, we will need some more support.
And just when you go to check out, put in the promo code PODSAVE13. That's PODSAVE13, and you'll get $5 off your order.
Oh, I like that. Pod, that's easy to remember. It's sort of like a bean pod.
Yes, and you're saving.
And I'm trying to save.
You're saving the beans.
Save the beans.
Pod save 13.
This is fantastic.
It's perfect.
It's perfect. I'm in.
You're in. Excellent.
Where do I sign?
GoDaddy.com.
Holla.
And we want to thank GoDaddy.com very much for sponsoring this week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke.
I used to be a better actress. No, this was improv.
That may have been our best ad read ever. And now, on to the news.
News.
Okay, first off, ratings. I hope you're not. I hope our audience isn't expecting good news on the ratings. It fell a tenth of a point. I think I saw a figure somewhere 5%.
That's a lot, guys.
Yeah, from last week to 2.1 share, 7.37 million at 8 p.m., which is very unfortunate. I like we were saying before, I blame Lacey.
I totally blame Lacey.
Lacey was just the wrong episode to come back on.
I think Lacey would have been better placed about 3 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us continually seeing Belle in the hospital.
Yeah, but the problem was his Rumpel was away, and then he was dealing with Cora, and then there was a month break, so there really wasn't. Maybe Lacey might have been a better episode for this week, but then Regina's captured, and it's like it fit where it did for a reason, and I'm sure they didn't plan it to fall as the first episode back after the break, but it's unfortunate, but hopefully we'll pick back up next week after this week's great episode. You
this
know, people
is such a good episode. Share the the replay links. You know, tell your friends.
Point people to what is it? It's like on Hulu.
It's on
and
Hulu.
iTunes.
It's on ABC. It's on iTunes. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Go
point
watch
them
it.
To our podcast, and then
definitely point them to our podcast.
We should run some sort of special sometime. Maybe next week. I'll come up with something.
A special?
Not a special, like a contest.
A contest.
A contest.
We've done that before with the notes.
Our contests usually do. I'm going to think about this. Next week there's going to be a contest for getting maybe like new listeners, new viewers, new something for that season finale.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be a prize. Thoughts?
You know what? I know the perfect prize.
Okay.
Which would be a digital copy of the Once Upon a Time novel.
Oh.
We just need to figure out how we would quantify bringing in new listeners.
Oh, that no, because I'll explain it to you off camera.
Okay, yeah, we'll
post it maybe this week sometime.
Yeah,
special mini podcast.
Keep an eye on our Twitter at GF Storybrooke
and on our Facebook.
We've just decided right now we're going to do a giveaway.
We're going to do a giveaway.
The Once Upon a Time novel. So if you want to win, stay tuned. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry,
let's go to the next news story.
Okay, news story: magic versus science. This week on the Examiner. It was a longish article, so I'm just going to give you the cliff notes.
And we'll have the link in the show notes.
Yeah, as
greetings from storybrooke.com, which I don't think we mentioned last week, has a new look now. I tried to kind of unify the look with my main company site, meeksmixedmedia.com, since, you know, the podcast is kind of a branch off that.
Right.
But, you know, it's nice and slick now, so check it out.
It's slick. Okay, so they were just talking. Let's see, who is it? The key from this season was a lot showing, you know, people being introduced to new worlds, new experiences, and actually getting to see that, since when they, you know, got thrown into Storybrooke, it wasn't really new. They just didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So that's why when they traveled to New York, they put Gold on the airplane so that you could actually see him experiencing such a new crazy world for the first time.
Like, and that was very effective, too.
It was really effective. And it was really funny how scared he got with everything that he's done. But really, that is probably one of – like they said, that's probably one of the most magical things in our world, is you get basically in a tin can and 18 hours later, you're in Australia.
So like riding a dragon without all the wind.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. So it really – like they said, it's like our version of magic. They also were pointing out the gadgets, equipment, and seemingly scientific discoveries for the characters that are all touched by something enchanted. That even includes the now infamous taser
that was used
by seemingly real-world, R-world character that didn't really electrocute August. Excuse me.
Yeah, a lot of people had problems with that taser.
In that moment, making that decision, we never realized the backlash that would be from a taser. We always assumed the audience would assume, oh, that's not a taser. But they did not. If I could go back in the season and change one thing, it would be to make it a syringe, because she just took out a syringe and shoved it into the dragon. No one would give a cheep. It's a burp. And if it glowed, you'd get it. It robbed him of the essence. It is what it did.
Yeah, see, I assumed that it was a magical taser, but I'm very out there when it comes to the kind of fiction I consume. So if there's not something weird or magical or supernatural going on with a particular object in something I'm reading, it's unusual.
Right.
So that's where my mind goes first when something like that pops up. But a lot of people, they just thought it was a normal taser.
I thought it was a normal taser.
Some sort of supercharged taser.
Yeah, like, I mean, I figured there was something off about it, but how would this person who's looking for magic have something that could defeat magic? That drove me nuts, hence I want to know more about the dragon still.
Yeah, but they have all sorts of stuff. Like, they have the cuff, which some people are theorizing might have some, like, nanobots or something that is what's robbing Regina of her magical powers. But yeah, I do think it's interesting that they mention here that – yeah, these are scientific methods to eliminate magic, but there's some sort of enchantment to them, which would make sense, because how are you going to completely cancel out magic with science when science depends on the laws of the physical world and magic doesn't at all?
Right.
Actually, magic probably, if you want to get technical, probably depends more on the laws of the natural world. You know, like nature and, you know, sun god and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was one really good article.
That was. Okay, there was another really good one on TVGuide.com where one of their writers interviewed characters as they were the actors and creators as they were filming the finale. I'm going to jump ahead to the really good one here.
Okay.
That was the very end. I kind of mentioned it earlier. What about the possibility of characters getting doused with pixie dust and taking flight? Kitness, you have to believe in fairies, is what I heard.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard.
No, since he writes it. And Regina's actress, Lana We'll be flying until the harnesses start to kill our bodies. And then we'll be like, we don't want to fly anymore. So there's going to be some flight. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some flight.
I almost wonder if maybe they're not going back to the Enchanted Forest. Maybe Neil's taking them to Neverland or something.
Well, the thing is, how do you control where the bean sends you?
This is true.
There's no dial. There's no like keypad on a bean.
Yeah.
You throw like, but doesn't it have to be hit with magic water?
No, Hook just threw it his into the ocean.
Water.
But I think it was indicated that he knew where he was going.
Right. Maybe it's a mental thing.
Yeah,
maybe
like
it's
an intention.
Whoever throws the bean.
Yeah.
So maybe Hook throws the bean.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Neil throws the bean. We don't know. Something's okay. Where was the other one? Oh, and this one was just sort of fun. Let's see. When you learn that Storybrooke was in danger of being destroyed in the finale, what were your thoughts? And Richard Carlyle Gold said, "I'd be sincere."
Robert.
What did I say? Richard.
Richard. Yeah.
I am special. I'm sorry. My apologies, sir. I'd be sincerely upset to lose Mr. Goldshop. I'm very, very protective over it. Snow says, "Oh, yes, you are." Whispers, "None of the rest of us are allowed to touch anything in there." And
well, a lot of times, like in on the day that an episode airs, he tweets out little snapshots he's taken in the shop and stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. And then Lana, "Even the props that once belonged to us, or will get hit in the hand with his cane." Awesome.
That's totally expected and totally awesome.
Apparently, he's a method actor.
Okay.
So there you go.
Excellent. Well, that is our news. Now we're going to move on to listener questions and feedback. First, we're
decent
going
decent amount of feedback this week.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially because we're recording on Monday.
Yeah, we're recording on Monday, and our last episode went out Friday?
Thursday
night. So, yeah, a lot of good feedback. First, we're going to play a voicemail from Hope, where she talks a little bit about Dr. Whale.
Hey, guys. This is Hope from Two True Freaks Podcasting Group. First and foremost, thank you so much for putting my letters to you guys on your blog. That really means a lot to me. I'm wondering where Dr. Whale is, because with all this talk of science, he seems like he would be the best ally for Greg and Tamara. He knows science. He brought Daniel back to life in Storybrooke, so he obviously has the means to work science with magic in Storybrooke, and he's familiar with magic. I'm a huge whale watcher. He's my favorite character, so I'm always looking for him and how he can be in the show. All right, can't wait to hear the new episode. Thanks again, guys. Bye.
Well, thank you very much, Hope, for that voicemail. If you watched the preview, which I think you might have, I think I saw you mention something on Twitter because we follow you on Twitter. We got a little peek of Dr. Whale. I totally agree. Him being a science-based character, he's going to factor into what's going on with Greg and Tamara somehow.
Totally.
It's just a matter of when.
Exactly. And they have 2 episodes to do it, so it will be soon. It'll be, yeah.
Okay, next we have a letter from our good friend Bud. He's the one who actually our contest we mentioned a little bit earlier. He won our contest. He says, "Hey, girls and guys, more like girl and guy. This week's episode of Once Upon a Time was good. I felt that the turn of events was somewhat predictable. I know that Tamara was too sneaky to leave evidence in something as simple as under a floorboard."
I feel like he's only giving it 5 beans, maybe less.
Possibly, maybe 4.
4.
"I wonder if Greg has created something that absorbs magic, or if he's done something as complicated as nanomachines." This is one of the places I heard that, actually.
That must be where you heard it.
"Or something that changes DNA. I wonder where this will lead with the convergence of magic versus science. It's not going the way that I originally thought it would. And oh my gosh, it's been proven. Neil went to Neverland. Looking forward to hear what you guys think. Keep up the good work, Bud." Thank you very much, Bud, for writing in. I definitely agree. Like, I almost want to say, it's hard to say what is in that cuff that's inhibiting her magical powers without knowing the actual source of magic. Like, what?
Well, they mention bones. Repeatedly, bones have been mentioned in relation to magic.
Yeah.
But Emma's magic wasn't bone.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, boop.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's really hard to, if you were a caveman that got transported to modern times, well, maybe not a caveman. Let's say someone from the Victorian era who got transported to modern times. You know, if someone said something about the internet to you, they could explain the concept of the internet, but you really wouldn't get it unless you understood what computers and networking were. So we need to figure out what the technology behind magic is before we can really kind of guess what the technology behind stopping magic is.
Right.
I guess. But yeah, really good stuff. You want to read the last one?
Sure. This was a tweet from Eliana. I'm sorry.
Elena.
Can you please leave a voicemail so I can stop butchering your name?
Yes, please leave
a
voicemail.
Just at least just be like, hey, this is so-and-so. This is how you say my name. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I feel bad because my last name always gets butchered to heck and back. So I hate doing it.
But it's at ALEANA24 on Twitter.
And she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So follow her.
We like her.
So she says, GF Swarbrick, do you think Neil Fire, thank you, I enjoy that, is one of Wendy's brothers?
Even with the preview, though, it's always possible that maybe the Darlings took him in.
They maybe adopted him.
Yeah.
Holla.
That's possible. But he had to have spent hundreds of years in Neverland or whatever.
Right.
Too. So or 100 years. It's not that old. But I don't think he's necessarily one of Wendy's brothers as presented in the original stories. But as
but
we know,
things being presented as in the original.
This show adapts things
how
to
they want it.
The plot. So he could definitely be an adopted brother for sure.
I could see that. Because she's like, no, here, I'm not going to let you starve.
Mm-hmm.
And she's much prissier in the preview than you picture Wendy Darling. You think Wendy Darling's prissy?
A little bit.
See, I don't.
But we want to thank all of our fans for writing in and calling in and everything. If you want to write in or call in to let us know what you thought about our episode this week or the episode next week.
If you'd like to have a cry with us about the fact that we only have two more episodes.
Yes. You can write in at via email greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us on Twitter @GFStorybrooke.
You can get us on Facebook @GreetingsFromStorybrooke.
If you want the Facebook, the Google Plus, all of our contact information.
Just go to the website, would you?
Yeah, greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. And you can also leave a voicemail 424-274-2352. We love voicemails.
Please leave a voicemail. It's nice to actually hear someone else's voice.
Yes, and I do want to mention real quick, you know, we're going to have the contest next week to try and bring some new listeners to us to kind of, you know, help us get a jump start for next season. But we do appreciate the iTunes reviews.
Yes.
And if you go to iTunes and leave us a review, a positive, well, it doesn't even have to be positive. We'll read it on the show. And we really appreciate it because that just kind of helps us stand out a little bit when someone types in Once Upon a Time into the podcast app. If you could do that, that'd be great too. Well, do you have anything else, Anna Marie?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good. Sorry. Hi.
Okay. Well, you know, the countdown begins. Join us next week for episode 25. So until next week,
greetings from Storybrooke.